Galatians 2:20, crucified and resurrected with Christ. Christ is risen from the dead. Nothing can ever be the same again. Death is a grim, dark reality. It's a painful reality. Death is a final, total end that no one could answer. As Edgar Allan Poe said, out, out are the lights, out all. And over each quivering form, the curtain, a funeral pall, comes down with the rush of a storm, while the angels, all pallid and wan, uprising, unveiling, affirm that the play is the tragedy, man, and its hero, the conquering worm. Death's black curtain falls on all of us, making every human life a tragedy that ends at a funeral. But at last, in the fullness of time, a champion has come to answer death. Christ has come, the true hero, the conquering lion, and he has turned tragedies into true comedies, making every life in him one that begins at a funeral and ends at a wedding. Christ has taken on death and he's left it in the grave, so that now, by your union with him in his death, your baptism is the beginning of everlasting life and light and joy forever. As St. Paul said, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting?" So let's meditate together on the death of Christ and the death of death in the death of Christ, and the resurrection of hope in the resurrection of Christ in which we share. We'll use Galatians 2:20 to guide us this morning. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. In this fallen world, the only way to life is through death. The only trail to hope passes through the tomb. The only way to rise in glory is to first kneel in death. As Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." If you want to find your life, you must first lose it. And so here in Galatians 2:20, Paul starts off, "I have been crucified with Christ." And there's two things to notice here. Christ was crucified, and I was crucified with him. So first, Christ was crucified. Jesus was nailed onto a wooden cross. Nails through his hands, nails through his feet, to hang on a cross for us and for our salvation. He suffered on that cross as he died to rescue us. "Lo, the good shepherd for the sheep is offered. The slave has sinned and the son has suffered. For man's atonement, while he nothing heeded, God interceded." You have rebelled against God by your sin, and his just judgment is rightly against all sin, and his judgment is the penalty of death. And so God, in his love for you, sent his Son, the Christ, to be crucified on the cross as a payment for your sin, for the forgiveness of every sin, as the perfect sacrifice that reconciles you fully to God. So that all who repent of sin and trust in Christ for their salvation are forgiven and reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. Christ was crucified. And I was crucified with him. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. In Galatians, Paul's describing his own experience, but what he describes is the norm for Christians. You can see that back up in verse 17, where he's been talking about our endeavor to be justified in Christ. And then he's here using himself as an example for all believers. Paul has been crucified. Christ has been crucified. Paul has been crucified with Christ. And all you who are in Christ Jesus have been crucified with him. There is no other way. Jesus' death on the cross is not something far away from you. It's not something distant from you. It's not something you can keep at arm's length safely back from yourself. No, it's a world-changing reality that you must participate in if you want to live. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You must be born again. Your old self has to die. Not just part of it, not just some of it, not just most of it. You have to lay all that you are down on the altar before God. You have to lay down all the worst parts of yourself and all the best parts of yourself. You have to bring to God and lay at his feet everything that you're proud of and everything that you're ashamed of and lay it all at his feet to die. Everything that makes you who you are, everything you're confident in, everything you hang on to, everything you hate about yourself, all of it has to go. And in Christ, it will all be resurrected. It will all come back more glorious than it ever was, but you have to truly lay it down, all the way down. We scramble around, we reach and we stretch for the right words to explain this glorious reality, this profound reality of being crucified with Christ. Rosaria Butterfield, a former lesbian feminist professor who repented and came to Christ, wrote, "How do I tell you about my conversion to Christianity without making it sound like an alien abduction or a train wreck? Truth be told, it felt like a little of both." We search for the most profound or otherworldly descriptors to explain what it means to be crucified with Christ, to lose our life in him so that we may find it. We need a new heart. We need to have our old, rocky, stony heart pulled out and be given a new heart that's beating, that's made of flesh. We need a new spirit. The very life of our being has to come out, and a new spirit has to be put into us. We need a new self. We need a new creation, a new birth. The transformation has to be complete. It has to be all the way in and all the way out, all the way down and all the way up. To trust God is to put yourself totally in his hands. It is to present yourself, your very body, as a living sacrifice to him, which is your reasonable act of worship. Such that you can say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You must go so that Christ can come. And it's not merely a one-time act, it's a way of life. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. and follow me. The life of faith is a life that lives surrendered to God and to his word and to his will and to his glory. That's what it means to trust Christ. It's a life that's ready to say yes to God always. Even if that means saying no to the entire world, you say yes to God. Even if it means saying no to your deepest self, your deepest sense of profound meaning, if saying yes to God means saying no to that, then you say it without reserve. That's what it means to trust Christ. That's what it is to be crucified with him. That means that you die. The world today is obsessed with being true to yourself. That will never do. You must be true to God. And in that way alone, you will find yourself. This participation in the crucifixion of Christ is a profound spiritual reality in your innermost being that requires faith, which is a gift from God that he will give to you if you ask him. Deal truly and honestly with God. Put yourself completely in his hands. If you've never done it, do it for the first time. If you have done it, do it every day. Take up your cross daily to follow him. Let him do whatever he wants with you. This is the path to life. Don't play games with Jesus or with the church or with religion. Rather, deal truly with God himself by faith and bear it out to the edge of doom. I have been crucified with Christ. Also, I have been resurrected with Christ. The call to follow Christ is a call to die so that you may live. We lose our life so that we may find it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so again, we see two things. Christ lives, and Christ lives in me. Christ is risen, and I am risen in him. Jesus died. Actually, historically, truly, the God-man hung on a wooden cross that came from some tree that grew on some hillside that's still there today. The hillside is. That tree was shaped by some guy. So it was cut down by somebody, shaped by somebody into an instrument of death and torture on a hill that you could still go and look at. And there, the God-man hung on a cross and died for sinners. He had real nails made of real metal mined from the earth. Somebody dug that metal out of the earth. Somebody forged it into the nails that went through his physical hands into the cross. Actual thorns were gathered from some real plant, twisted together by some human hand, and placed on his head. As thorns dug into his brow and real drops of blood ran down his forehead. And there was one moment of time on one day when the Lord Jesus breathed his last. There was one beat of his heart before it stopped. And then his lifeless body was taken down and laid into a tomb. And just as truly as Jesus died, so on the third day he rose bodily from the dead. The same body that hung on the cross, the same hands that were pierced with the nails came out of the tomb. His side still bearing the wound from the spear, his hands still bearing the marks from the nails such that people could put their hands in them and feel them. He rose from the dead. He is alive and he lives forevermore. And he was not weak and slowly trying to recover from his horrific ordeal. He was raised in glory and immortality to live forever. He ate fish with his disciples. He sat with them on a beach and cooked the fish over a fire and had breakfast. You can't find Jesus' bones in a grave because they're not here. because they've come back together and muscles have come on them and skin, and they are together at the right hand of God where he reigns and rules on high. And in heaven, he lives to intercede for us with the Father. He sits there now, interceding for you with God, so that where he is, we can be also. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Death in vain forbids him rise. Christ has opened paradise. And his resurrection was the first fruits of a harvest of a new creation. He was the forerunner of a new race of mankind, men who can't be touched by death, but have the power of everlasting life glowing in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Christ lives, and he lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Do you believe this? The old self dies. Christ comes and takes up residence in us. Christ, our head, lives through us, his body. And Jesus is truly and actually and personally present with you right now. The living Christ has raised from the dead and now lives in you by his Holy Spirit whom he has sent. As he said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's what Jesus said. Christ lives in me. I know him. I fellowship with him. I talk with him. I trust him. I love him. I watch him move and act and live in me. I am no longer who I once was because Christ lives in me. And so it is with all who hope in Christ. He strengthens us, he purifies us, he sanctifies us, he comforts us, he assures us, he communicates God's love to us, he testifies to us that we are children of God, and he uses us for his glory. Make room for Christ to live in you. I must decrease, but Christ must increase. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. He lives in you now. The King of ages has come, not to your house, but to your heart. Honor him, thank him, and give him your full attention and affection, your love, and your trust. When we share in Christ's crucifixion, we also share in his resurrection. We now taste the powers of the age to come. We have eternal life dwelling within us. Even though our outer man is wasting away day by day, our inner man is being renewed day by day as he takes us from glory to glory. We are now alive in Christ, and our bodies will catch up one day when he returns. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Been crucified with Christ, we have been raised with Christ, and lastly, we are now alive by faith. Having been crucified with him, having been resurrected, now we live. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are alive now. We might have thought Paul wouldn't talk in the first person anymore after he said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But now he immediately turns and says, in the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul doesn't mean to say that your identity is obliterated in Christ. The old self is gone. The new self has come in Christ, and we now live in Christ. I now live in him as he lives in me. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Before Christ came, before we were born again in him, before we were crucified with him, and before we rose with him, we were dead. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. Our bodies were alive, kind of, but our hearts were dead. Our spirits were dead. But in Christ, we find life for the first time. And now our hearts are alive, though our bodies are fading away. The life I now live in the flesh, Paul says. For now, we live in the flesh. He doesn't mean sinful flesh here. Sometimes Paul uses flesh to refer to kind of the body of your sin. Here, he just means to say that you still live in flesh, in blood. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The body that belongs to this world, the body of the man from the dust, Adam. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. That's Adam. The second man is from heaven. That's Christ. As was the man of dust, so also are all those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Until the bodily resurrection of the saints, Christians now live with resurrected spirits and hearts in this dying body of the flesh. And so in this state, this halfway state, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We don't yet see all the glories that will be ours, do we? We don't yet see Christ, though we love him and we rejoice in him. We don't yet see everything under Christ's feet, though it is. We don't yet see our resurrected bodies. We don't yet see the new heavens and the new earth, but we are certain that they are real. And we live by faith in what we have not yet seen, knowing that these things are real, they are certain, and they are all coming in due time. We live by faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So because Christ dwells in us, and because we are alive in him, we know that the rest of it is only a matter of time. We have assurance. We have conviction. We have confidence in the things that we can't yet see, in the things we hope for, and so we wait for them patiently. We live this life in light of what's coming. Imagine if you had a $1 billion inheritance coming soon. Would that affect the way you live right now? Would it affect your attitude? Would it affect the choices you make and how you live and how you think about your life? You have something far greater than that. It's sure. It's certain. It's yours. Live like it. We know that as surely as Christ rose from the dead, so will our bodies one day come up out of the graves, and we will receive new, glorified, resurrection bodies. When Christ returns for the final judgment, there will be a general resurrection of everyone's body, and those who hope in Christ will receive a glorious body that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 is imperishable, glorious, and powerful. You have a body coming that's imperishable, glorious, and powerful. In that new body, you will not get sick. You will not die. You will not suffer. But your body will be glorious and powerful, and it will last forever. Whatever things afflict you in this life will be taken away. You won't get allergies. You won't get anemic. You won't suffer insomnia. You won't get gout. You won't get old and tired. You won't need glasses. You won't be weak. You won't have a cough from January that still lingers in April. You won't get sick at all. You won't need surgery. You won't have chronic stomach trouble. You won't have heart problems or Parkinson's. You won't get vertigo. You won't have rashes or pimples or arthritis or whatever affects you now. You will have a new, imperishable, glorious body that will be yours forever. It's coming. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Hope in him. Walk with him. Hear and believe all his word and know that he has purchased this for you as a gift of his love. And it's yours and it's coming soon. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All of this is yours because of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Taking up your cross daily and denying yourself can be hard. It can be scary. It can be daunting. We can shrink back from the challenge, from the difficulty, from the death to ourself, from self-denial. We can shrink back, but the Christian life is a life of faith. We trust God that he brings life out from death. We follow Jesus who went to the cross and then into the grave and then rose and then was ascended to the right hand of God, all things being put under his feet. And we trust him when he calls us to follow him on that same path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust him. Follow him wherever he leads. Lay down everything he calls you to lay down for him, and do it gladly and willingly and with joy, knowing that it's your path to life. And as you do so, remember, always remember, keep in the front of your mind that he is leading you on these paths because he loves you. He's not harsh or cruel. When he calls you to deny yourself and to die, he is not cruel, distant, or absent. Rather, the one who calls you to do this, the one who calls you to die today and every day until the day of the resurrection, is the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. When you walk the path from crucifixion to resurrection, you walk it with Christ, who gave himself for you. Jesus didn't need the path of crucifixion. He freely chose it because he loves you, because he wanted to make a way for you to have life and joy and peace forevermore. Why would we hesitate to follow him on that path? Why would we shrink back? Why would we doubt? Why would we grumble? Why would we complain along the way when all of this is true? Why would we not rather rejoice in the hope of glory, rejoice even in our sufferings, and rejoice because we have God himself? Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest above. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. You who believe have died with him. You have been risen with him. And one day, you will be glorified with him forever in a resurrected body, in a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So for now, walk by faith. Take up your cross daily. Give him everything. Rest in his love for you. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, and live in the freedom of God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He is risen.